Thank you, praise team, for your testimony and song. Some of those words that, some of those lyrics are just speak to scripture, or scripture speaks to the words. It's amazing how songwriters can do that. So I appreciate that. And for the children's story, nice palm branches. I like that. For some reason, I got a heads up on the children's story. And so we're moving on in this Holy Week. We're going to be in a different place than Palm Sunday. So just bear with me in that. I got to thinking about, does New Beginnings ever have a time when we share actually what happened on the cross? And we're going to look at that this morning in a little bit. Justin, if you can bring up, okay, it's coming. This is kind of a morning of things different. I'm going to invite you to stand when Justin gets on the screen our scripture from Luke. And by the way, we're moving from Luke 19 to 20. I didn't look it up what chapter it is, but Luke 23. And I'm going to invite you to stand as we read our scripture together. We're going to read it in unison. Oh, did we ever do that before? From Luke 23, verse 33, join with me. And when they came to the place called the Skull, there they crucified him and the criminals, one on the right and the other on the left. But Jesus was saying, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing." And they cast lots, dividing his garments among themselves. And the people stood by watching, and even the rulers were sneering at him, saying, "He saved others, let him save himself, if this is the Christ of God, his chosen one." The soldiers also ridiculed him, coming up to him, offering him sour wine, and saying, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." Now there was also an inscription above him, "This is the King of the Jews." One of the criminals who hanged there was hurling abuse at him, saying, "Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us." But the other responded and, rebuking him, said, "Do you not even fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed are suffering justly, for we are receiving what we deserve for our times. But this man has done nothing wrong." And he was saying, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And he said to him, "Truly I say to you, you'll be with me in paradise." Thank you. You may be seated. Thank you, Father, for this time together. Thank you, Father, for your scripture, your holy words that come to us through scripture. And so now I ask, Father, that Jesus might apply the words from scripture to our hearts as you see fit. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Tole Campolo is a preacher, an author, and a college professor. Tony is not a black man, but he worships at a black church in West Philadelphia. My wife and I get to hear Tony Campolo quite often because he preaches at Mount Greenwich Tabernacle. and he often shares some of his favorite sermons. I think we're familiar with this, but let me give you some of the details of the sermon that he calls, "It's Friday, but Sunday's coming." We use that phrase often. Being in a black church, Tony gets to preach, and he says that when he's a little lacking in his preaching, his audience will say, "Preach, preacher, preach." Very typical of a black. They're very spirited if you ever worship with black people. So Tony is very encouraged by that. So There's one time on a Good Friday, the church had six ministers share in their preaching, and Tony's one of them. And Tony's pastor, who was a black man, preached this sermon. And so Tony likes to relate this to us in kind of different ways very often. So this preacher said that Sunday's, or Friday's here, but Sunday's coming. Once you know that title, you kind of know the rest of the story, don't you? I mean, it's for those of us that are believers, what is there new to say about that? But this preacher said that Friday is, it was on Friday, and Mary was crying her eyes out. And the disciples were running around in every direction like lost sheep without a shepherd. But it's Friday, and Sunday's coming. Critics were looking at the world and saying, you know, it is what it is. You can't change anything in this world, but it's Friday, and Sunday's coming. The forces that oppress the poor and that make the poor to suffer were in control. But that was Friday, and Sunday's coming. It's Friday, and on Friday, Pilate thought he had washed his hands of a lot of trouble. The Pharisees were strutting around laughing and living it up like they had won this whole thing. But they didn't know that it was Friday and Sunday was coming. It's Friday and Jesus is hanging on the tree. It's Friday, but Sunday's coming. Sunday's coming is good news, isn't it? That's the word the world is, I think, wanting to hear. When psychologically depressed, we as Christians need to share the fact that Sunday is coming. When they feel that they can never know love again, we must tell the world Sunday's coming. When believing in the miraculous is lost and we no longer expect great things from God, we need to say Sunday's coming. The world may be filled with millions of hungry people. And there may be economic injustice and political oppression. People may be losing their rights, and their hope may be under attack. But that's Friday. Sunday's coming. On Friday, the world looked like the forces of evil had won over the force of good. That friends and disciples, really, they fled in fear. And the fear of God, because the Son of God had died on the cross. The disciples who lived there, both through Friday and Sunday, really never doubted God again. We learned that when God seems almost absent, he may be the closest of all. And that even though God looks dead, he may be coming back to life. We learn to never count God out. In Tony Campolo's sharing this sermon, he skipped a day. Friday's here, but Sunday's coming. I think that dark Friday can only be called Good Friday because of what happened on Easter. But the 2 days, Good Friday and Sunday, earned names on the church calendar. In a real sense, we live on Saturday, the day with no name in Scripture. Can we trust that God will make something holy and beautiful and good out of a world that includes inner-city ghettos and, in America, jammed prisons in the richest nation on earth? Will Sunday ever come? We live our days on Saturday. It's the in-between day with no name. I looked in the Gospels for what happened on Saturday, because Scripture seems to slow down when we get into this Holy Week. It really slows down. And why would it miss Saturday? Well, they devote a lot of space to the events that lead up to Jesus' crucifixion, Thursday and Friday of Passion Week, but Saturday? But Matthew gives us some details about what took place behind the scenes. And I'm reading from Matthew 27, verse 62 to 66. The next day, Scripture tells us, after Jesus was buried, The priests and the Pharisees met with Pilate. They said, "We remember that that liar announced while he was still alive." That's in Scripture. "We remember that that liar said, 'After 3 days, I will be raised.'" There was a good chance his disciples will come and steal the corpse and go around saying, "He's risen. We'll be worse off than before." Pilate told them, "You have a guard. Go ahead and secure the tomb." Our week. We have a day in our week we call Saturday. For us, Saturday begins the weekend. I wondered if that word could be spelled W-E-A-K, or how do you spell that? The weekend. Saturday is, for us, is the seventh day of the week. It's the last day of the week, which commemorates God resting after he created the world. For us, usually our Saturdays are a little different. I could ask you what your Saturday is like, and it might go something like this. First of all, there's no school for the children. You may get to sleep in, or you may not get to sleep in. In my growing up, Saturday is this is old school. In my growing up, Saturday was a time when you polish your shoes. Like, dude, we don't even polish shoes today. You washed your car. We don't even wash. Yeah, we do. We wash our cars today. And most importantly, you swept the barn floor. Amazing. I remember that. Every Saturday, Dad says, "You need to sweep the barn." That was a chore. And if I would sweep the barn before my dad told me to sweep it, I would get rewarded. I mean, that's 65 years ago. I remember that. Sweep the barn. So our Saturdays, to the Jewish person, is a Sabbath. It's a Jewish Sabbath. Their Sabbath is from Friday at 6 p.m. For the next 24 hours. After Friday at 6 p.m., any work that you did was illegal. Illegal, Chuck. Wow. So in our recent visit to Jerusalem, this was so true, and some of you, the rest of you have been there. On Friday evening at 6, in Jerusalem, there's no cars. Like, wow. Amazing. People, yeah. People are walking, but there's no cars. The hotel elevators change into the Sabbath mode, and so one of the elevators in our hotel said it's a Sabbath elevator, which means you can ride the elevator, but you do not push buttons. It stops at every floor, waits for 2 minutes, and you can get on or off, and then go to the next floor. That's work, pushing a button, Dave. Don't go there. In our cafeteria, there were certain foods that we did not eat from Friday at 6 through Saturday because it took too much preparation time. Amazing. I mean, they still do that today. So some observations about Saturday in our world that we live in. This in-between day with no name. I almost hesitated to do this because I think we know these things, but let me just share them anyway. Our newspapers and television can be so depressing, you know. But in my mind, we're living in a culture and a time where there seems like there are no absolutes. And there's no guidelines for guiding individuals or groups. In Judges 21:25, the writer of that book says, "Everyone did what was right in his own eyes." Likening that to our day. Each person did his own thing. I don't need to go there, but let me just help you with our thinking. So today, if you don't like being a male person, you do something different. Each person does their own thing. If you don't like authority, you defund the police or you take God out of schools. If you don't like the family setup that God designed, you legalize gay marriages. I'm sure that's not God's design. What about our national debt? It keeps growing and growing. What about abortion in our nation? What about, it seems like the church is in trouble. Why does the world have millions of people that are hungering? COVID-19, it's a worldwide pandemic. And I read recently this week that in the United States, there's more jobs available than there are unemployed people. Now, what's wrong with this picture? More jobs available than there are unemployed people. That's our Saturday. Let me get more personal. That's somebody else's problem. Not really, but don't you hate it when someone else reminds you that like your barber, it's getting a little thin up there? Will, is that? Or your hairstylist. Next time you come in, we'll do something about those gray streaks. They got a lot to do here. Or the invitation to your 30th high school reunion. 30th? That hits home, huh, Dave? That's getting close. Or from your doctor, the condition that you have is common for people in midlife. There's a joke out that says, old age is when you sink your teeth into a steak and they stay there. Nearly everything hurts when you, I can say this from experience. Nearly everything hurts when you wake up. And what doesn't hurt doesn't work. Things like empty nest, like bifocals, like 50 candles, oh boy. Like hearing aids. What was tight now sags. It goes on and on. With every new pill we take, we are reminded that growing old is a pill that we need to swallow. So, come on, guys. Growing old is no secret. We know it's coming. It's not like you're blazing a new trail. If growing old catches you by surprise, don't blame God. More seriously, my most recent conversation about heaven and whether we're going there went something like this. This was a year back or more. A list from the one in my conversation included, I'm not as bad as I used to be. I smoke only one pack of cigarettes a day. And I now know the right people, and they're good people. So this person's logic seemed to be, I keep the list on earth, and I get the place in heaven. But come on, most of us have a list. Most of us have a list. We think we're good. We're decent. We're hardworking. I mean, I pay my bills. I love my spouse. I go to church. I'm good. But the problem with my list, with our list, is none of us is good enough. Romans 3:23. All have sinned and are not good enough for God's glory. That's the message. Now, if no list is sufficient, no achievements are adequate, how does a person be saved? Let's look to Jesus and have him answer this question. How about the interaction between Jesus and the two criminals? All three were crucified. We read about this. One might think that the two thieves with Jesus are victims. There were good men who got a bad sentence, but that's not the case. Matthew 27, verse 44, in just one verse says, the robbers who were being crucified beside Jesus also insulted him. So can you hear these two thieves? Some kind of a Jew you are. How about the Little Miracle, how about Little Miracle Galilean? These guys were insulting. Did you ever see nails that size in Nazareth? Now, you might expect this from the Pharisees or from the crowd, but from the thieves, like crucified men insulting a crucified man, how cruel can you be? These two will die as they lived, attacking the innocent. But in this case, the innocent doesn't retaliate. Over Jesus' head was painted the sign, King of the Jews. So the man that they mocked was half dead. And the man that they mocked was beaten. And the man that they mocked was at peace. The man that they mocked was at peace. Because Jesus prayed, Father, forgive them, because they don't know what they're doing. Wow. After that prayer, one of the criminals shouted, Aren't you the Christ? Then save yourself and us. Being in Christ's presence means nothing to him. Jesus is worthy of ridicule, so that's what we're going to do. We're going to ridicule. He expects agreement from the other one on the cross, but not so. Instead, it's what he said was challenged. You should fear God. You are getting the same punishment he is. We are punished justly, getting what we deserve. The man has done nothing wrong. Unbelievable. Unbelievable from this thief, in my mind. Because the same mouth that cursed Jesus now defends Jesus. What has happened? What has he seen since he's been on the cross? I mean, this is a short period of time. it occurred to me that he must have had a cell phone. And on his cell phone, he had either Caleb or JTL or DAC. I mean, what else would influence him? Well, obviously, I don't know when cell phones came into being, but that was way ahead of that. But all he heard was the prayer of grace. That was enough. Something happens to man when he stands in the presence of God, even on a cross. Read again these words. We are punished justly, getting what we deserve, but this man has done nothing wrong. That's the gospel in one sentence, and it's from the mouth of a crook. He was saying, I'm wrong. Jesus, you're right. I have failed. Jesus has not. I deserve to die. Jesus deserves to live. So the thief asks for help. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. What has this man done to be eligible for help? He wasted his life. He publicly made fun of Jesus. What right does he have to pray this prayer? But you know, that is you and me on the cross. That's us. We pray, is there any way you could remember me when we all get home? We pray differently than that, but that's what it amounts to. We don't produce our list. We don't boast. We sang about that this morning. It's more than we deserve. But we, like the thief, hear the voice of grace. Today you will be with me in my kingdom. In our world, Saturday is here. And I got to thinking about how I could pattern it's Friday, but Sunday's coming. So I'm going to use the words, Saturday is here, but Sunday's coming. So from Scripture, we learned that on Saturday, the day after Jesus' burial, Jesus' body is in the tomb. Saturday's here, but Sunday's coming. we learned that Jesus' tomb was to be made safe as we can, that Saturday, but Sunday's coming. We learn from Scripture that we need to keep Christ in the tomb if we can, because we don't want the disciples to make up anything like he is risen, but that's Saturday, Sunday's coming. The spices for Jesus' ointment, or the ointment and spices for Jesus' burial, had to wait. It's Saturday, but Sunday's coming. Jesus is dead, Saturday, but Sunday is coming. Surely this man was the Son of God. That's Saturday, but Sunday's coming. Satan and hell must be celebrating on Saturday, but guess what? Sunday's coming.
Hallelujah.
Yes. Thank you, Father, for Sunday. And so may we live our lives, Father, that would show the world that we know that Jesus is alive and that he's alive in us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.